Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Is The Bench.
The Bench.
On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
All right, let's go. 10:02 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. The big stories from the weekend. Astros go 2-1. Dash win their first ever championship. And Justin Verlander out. He says it's a forearm strain, couple of weeks, and they will reevaluate. Chandler Rome says he's out for the season.
And you waited on it earlier. What do you think will happen?
I think it's season.
Yeah. We've seen these things.
Somebody gave him, a couple of people gave Chandler Rome that information.
And we see these things where the player will, and the team will be like, well, let's just wait, second opinion. And it's usually always the bigger issue, the bigger injury.
Yeah.
And
it's rare that it goes from he's probably out for the season to, oh, it's just a couple of weeks.
Yeah, we misdiagnosed.
That never happens.
Yeah.
It's usually the exact opposite. Lawrence wants to get in here. Let's see what he wants to talk about with Verlander.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Thanks for taking my call. Really appreciate it. So here's what I think Verlander's experiencing. I think he's got a little of what they call tennis elbow. And my again, this is just my opinion. My wife had it, and she had the blood platelet where they take your blood out and they spin it, and then they re-inject your tendons. And it was about a month recovery. But I think it's from the such a long off season. He was on his cell phone so much, or he was on his computer way more than he would be. But that's kind of my thought on it. And I really think that he's going to come back. They're going to do that, you know, that blood platelet rehab. And I don't know. That's just my thought. What do you guys, how do you guys feel on that?
I don't, medically, I certainly don't want to go in. I have no idea. We have no idea. When we thought so many guys, oh, that, no, that's an easy knee injury. No, no, he'll be back. And you have no, I certainly don't want to speculate on blood platelets or how he's going to possibly do it, come back. Let's let the doctors do all that, and we'll get the information when we get it. I can't evaluate. I never operated on. Have you ever operated on anyone, Dell?
No.
Have you ever been a physical therapist?
Never had any medical training.
No medical training whatsoever. No. I like to think I do because I, you know.
Well, you have a daughter who's in psychology.
She's a psychologist, yes. A doctor of psychology. So I'm probably pretty close. I got to ask you, this hot honey chicken from Popeyes?
Uh-huh.
Are you about it?
I didn't even know it existed until I looked up at the screen that you pointed
to. I just saw it earlier today. What do you think about, if Popeyes is already spicy.
Average, not spicy.
It's already got a spiciness to it.
You know why some people...
Add hot honey.
Now you know why some people think it's spicy?
Because there's too many white people?
It's white people think it's spicy, that's why.
No,
Partially,
it's not.
There's just too many white people.
It ain't Miko's.
Nobody said it was Miko's, yeah, but it's spicy. It's spicier than the Colonel.
Well, certainly. The Colonel is...
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Milk toast.
It's got some spice to it.
Okay.
All right. Now you add hot honey.
Is it hot honey or spicy honey? Which one is it? Is it just warm honey?
It's probably warm honey.
Warm honey, not spicy.
Right, honey. Warm honey.
I mean, whatever.
I don't
really like sweet.
I don't like sweet either.
No.
Okay. I don't want sweet on my...
I don't like sweet.
No, on my salty. Well, now, wait, I will tell you that.
Chicken and waffles.
There's now, see, I've never had good chicken and waffles.
To me, I've never had it, but I like the I've never had good. I've liked the thought of it, but I've never had great chicken and waffles.
No, I go to a place
The chicken sucks.
It's usually the chicken that's the problem.
Yeah.
The places I've gone to.
And I don't like waffles anyway. I don't like syrup.
I do. I'd be down with that, but I've never had.
You're a syrup guy?
I don't really eat waffles or pancakes very often, but I don't dislike syrup.
No, I just feel like I'm about 80 pounds overweight after I'm done eating pancakes or waffles.
If you do that, you shouldn't eat for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
You're done. I'm done for.
Right.
If I do that.
No, you can't do that. Chuck is here. What's up, Chuck?
Well, John, long time no talk, man. I go back to the Bitter Chris day, so.
What up, Chuck? How are you?
I'm doing all right. Lance, remember Golfer Mike, all those guys from way back. It's been 25 years I've been listening to y'all plus, I'm guessing. Is that about right?
We're in our 23rd year right now.
23rd, yeah.
Yeah.
So I was pretty close. And I don't tune in as much as I used to, this COVID thing and all that kind of crap, but whatever. I was watching that game yesterday, and I'm just trying to understand when Altuve started channeling Craig Biggio. What's with the slider away, slider away, slider away? It was seven straight pitches in that ninth inning?
Yep.
That cost him all slider away, and he chased on a ball. And that's the thing I'm a little bit disappointed in. So I'll let y'all kick that around.
Well,
I'm not going to hang
Chuck,
on
I have
it.
A hard time being upset with Jose Altuve and disappointed in Jose Altuve offensively. I have a hard time. That was tough. But here's the thing. That was a 3-2 pitch. And, man, it starts out over the zone, and you don't know if it's a fastball or a slider. And, I mean, it was a great pitch. It would have been ball four if he lets it go. But that's so hard to lay off of on 3-2. I mean, listen, Craig Biggio, 3,000 hits and a Hall of Famer. Altuve's on his way to the Hall of Fame. If they can't hit it, if they're having a hard time, it must be a really, really tough pitch. Because when it comes out of his hands, you're thinking fastball, and it comes and it slides on you. I mean, that's why that's such a good pitch. I thought Williams looked pretty damn good yesterday. I mean, I was impressed with that kid. He did a nice job. When you get Springer, Altuve, and Brantley, you did a pretty good job.
Yeah, as far as criticizing Altuve for a game, it's like, man, there's a lot of history that says.
And Bregman he got.
Yeah, this is a really good player.
Yeah, I mean,
he had a bad run. That's all. Even a run, really.
And Craig Biggio too hit 3,000 hits.
Yeah,
in the big leagues.
And
he chased sliders. You know why? Because they're a really hard pitch to hit.
The unfortunate thing for Craig Biggio, we all know the lack of playoff success until later in his career. That's imprinted on some people's heads. Altuve has the benefit of a World Series title, so I don't think that's going to follow him. And well, he doesn't really. So he's not as susceptible as Craig was in the playoffs. But Altuve's had his moments in the playoffs, too, where it's like, what are you doing? You're a free swinger. I get it, but maybe not swing at that. But it's a good pitch.
Listen, that thing started out knee-high. It's a knee-high to a B, because that's Jose Altuve. It's a knee-high to a B. And then it dives on him. There's really... listen, okay. Game situation. Which Astro you want up?
Ooh, I think I want Brantley or Yuli up, to be honest with you.
I'm with you on that, but Jose Altuve is not far behind.
Yeah, certainly. But we talked about who is what do you call him, a professional hitter?
Yeah.
Those two, particularly Brantley and Yuli. I'm at a point where, big situation, I want those guys up at the plate.
The thing about Brantley is he's so quiet at the plate. He just looks like... He's just so good. He hit that ground rule double, and you're like, oh my goodness, Jose Altuve is so wild. You don't know, and we've seen it time and again in a big situation in the ninth inning. Jose Altuve is all over the place, and you're like, man, dude, calm down. It just seems like he's, you know. And again, yesterday he struck out with a guy on, but he's gotten plenty of big hits. Plenty of big hits.
Yeah, he ended a series last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was kind of a big deal.
Yeah, Art says, I'm disappointed in a multiple batting champ, World Series champ, and MVP. Should we cut Altuve? Hashtag. I'm not going to say what you said about Chuck, Art. But, yeah. And Brantley, I was thinking about Brantley only because this is the final year of a deal where he was getting paid 32 over 2. If Brantley says, I want to come back. What's the number for Brantley at 34 years old?
You got to probably go up on him, don't you?
Yeah, considering what he's been.
What he's done?
Yeah.
I'd give him 20.
Really? Well, Reddick's out the door. You're hoping for Tucker to be the guy.
He's 16 now.
Yeah, are you giving a – how many? For a year or two? How long is the deal for
I
Brantley?
I think he's got a couple of years of hitting left in him. I'm not – are you worried about giving him two more years?
No. I wonder how the finances with everything going on and then who else is coming up? Is Correa in the final year of arbitration?
Next year is his last year.
Okay, so, well, we'll see.
That's going to come up.
How is this season going to affect arbitration?
Reddick is done after this. Brantley's done. Yuli's done. One more. Oh, Springer.
Yeah, that's the thing about this year and everyone talking about, let's cancel the year. The Astros are at a point where there's a chance this last year this group's together.
Well, you got Verlander and Greinke for one more.
Yeah, and that one less year Verlander, we think it's a real issue, not the forearm strain that they're putting out there.
Right. Well, if it is a real elbow issue and he's got to get TJ.
He's gone next year too.
Yeah.
So you're done with Verlander.
Yeah.
Which would be a sad way for it to go out.
Jackie asked, do you have insurance on that $30 million? I don't know. I don't know what they do with that. Do the Astros have insurance? Probably, I would imagine. If he doesn't pitch, $30 million out the door?
Well, whatever the prorated is this year. But yeah, next year.
Right.
Yeah.
No, next year's.
Yeah, next year.
Next year's 33, 34, whatever it is.
I didn't think of it until now. If it's Tommy John, we've seen the last of Verlander as an Astro.
Mm-hmm. That could be the last pitch he throws.
Yeah. Overall, he might just say, I'm out.
Yeah, I'm done. Yeah. At 37, 38, come back.
And you've got a title. Why would you? Well, I know why, the money, but who knows what you'd be getting if coming off Tommy John.
Hall of Famer.
Yeah, what's the deal? You step aside and go, I've had a good career. Had a great one. And got my title, I'm done.
Hall of Fame. I'm in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I don't know if those articles have been written yet, but the finality of Justin, because initially it was like, oh, he's out for the year, what will the Astros do? But the finality of it, if he's actually done, we might be talking about the end of a career.
Could well be, if in fact it is the elbow. Yeah, the salaries are always insured against injury. Bagwells were always injured.
Do I need to play some Sarah McLaughlin for Justin Verlander?
No, I will remember you.
Yeah.
Will you remember me?
I don't know if Chandler Rome is right. I guess we're bye, Justin. I mean, seriously, I hadn't considered it until just now. You brought it up.
That's the worst story ever.
It is.
10:14 ESPN. Let's go to break now. Disgusted.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
Welcome back. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776 is the number to hang out with us here on ESPN 97.5. Please ask Lisa how long she's been smoking. Lisa does have that smoker's voice.
Yeah, Lisa called
a few times.
A couple segments ago now?
Yeah. Please ask her.
Or maybe it was last segment, actually. Yeah. Lisa, I assumed, would have been one of Eric Wong's ladies, but it didn't sound like it.
No. That doesn't sound like it. No. No, Lisa's called before.
Let me ask you a question. Would you, as an NFL team, quarantine one of your quarterbacks? Now, clearly the starter plays. But if your starter gets COVID and is ruled out, would you have a quarterback who isn't around the team until he's needed, just so you have him available? Like, would you even make it your second stringer and have your third stringer up on the roster, but your second stringer quarantine? Maybe you keep him maybe he's on the active roster. You take another player away. But he's not around the team until he's needed.
Well, how does he's got to practice.
Well, if your starting quarterback catches COVID and can't play, maybe he doesn't practice on the same field. Maybe he enters through different – however you need to do it to keep him eligible to play. Do you take that into account?
No. He's got to practice. And he practices with a mask on, though.
How much does he practice during a week when the starter is healthy?
And especially the quarterbacks, they socially distance. So you want your third stringer?
I don't know who it has quarantine? To be. Maybe it's your second
string. But he can't get any better. But will you be okay if your third stringer who never practices?
Maybe it's not your third stringer. Maybe it's your backup.
Then but your backup has got to take snaps.
How many snaps does the backup take in a week, work week?
Probably about 20% of them. Maybe a quarter of the snaps.
Is he on a taxi squad away from everyone?
Well, he also does the scout team.
Well, I know what he does in a normal year, but when you're trying to win football games, do you?
He's still got to practice. No, coach won't do that. No way. Are you talking about the college level or the pro level?
Pro level.
No, coach won't do that. But now you can make him always, always, always wearing a mask. I was surprised to hear Tom Herman said when they're doing when wide receivers are being covered by DBs, they're both wearing masks.
Well, if you're trying to. I don't know if they're wearing helmets yet at Texas. Are they wearing even helmets yet there?
I don't think you can. I don't know. There was a certain time. They might be on helmets yet or just now.
By themselves.
They might be on helmets now.
No pads.
Right.
Yeah. I could see it in a – I know it's hot, but if you're in your indoor facility, that limits – although you're now inside as opposed to outside. But I get – particularly in Texas, it's hot. But if you got to make some sacrifices. You got to find a way.
Tough.
I know. It's hot. That's what I'm saying.
You know what? It's hot. Okay. But, and, you know, JJ couldn't be the backup quarterback because he's not going to do that. He's not going to wear a mask. But I'm going to make my guys, especially the quarterbacks, in every meeting, they're going to separate because there's only three quarterbacks in the room.
Yeah.
There's three quarterbacks in the room. There's the quarterback coach. A lot of, if he's not the same as the offensive coordinator, a lot of times he's in the quarterback room. Head coach might be in the quarterback room. Everybody's wearing a mask, especially the quarterback.
And really, I would make everyone in the building wear one. When you're inside, everyone's wearing a mask.
Absolutely.
It doesn't matter.
No.
Just wear it.
That's why baseball's amazing to me. Why they're all in the dugout, all hanging out together, and nobody's. Well, that's no wonder this is happening.
There's no social distancing
protocol.
We had these initial discussions when we're talking about baseball with no fans. We just assume they're just going to put guys in the stands,
yeah,
and have them sit separately away from each other as a precaution, because baseball in your head is the easiest sport to do without a bubble when it comes to social distancing.
And
you don't have to touch each other. You don't have to be around each other. Sit them in the stands. Who cares?
And it's worse than ever because there's more guys in the dugout than ever have been.
There are 30 players instead of the normal number.
Yeah.
So put them in the stands. Why? You even have nets around the entire ballpark so you don't have to worry about line drives hitting them. You could have done this. And I don't know how that would have affected the Marlins, but it's clear that baseball didn't do everything they could.
No, you're right. But like the Red Sox, they're using different suites, two to a suite, and that's their locker room, as opposed to everybody all being in the locker room. And then they all get in the dugout hanging out with each other. That's stupid.
Yeah. Even in countries where sports are fully back, no fans, but fully back, initially in England, they were doing the whole "we're not gonna touch each other's hands." They're still sitting in the crowd. They're not really being around each other. You see some of it getting a little bit more relaxed. Guys are fist bumping or doing the high fives and stuff as the season has gone on, and continually with no positive tests, the players themselves have kind of relaxed. But baseball from the start was like, "Yeah, we're sitting in the same dugout. We'll celebrate each other." They did everything possible to not have it go off correctly.
Listen, when you're off, you know what? I'm going to make everybody's wearing a mask all the time now. That's it.
That should be the rule.
If you take your mask off, you're out.
Yeah, we haven't heard from baseball other than to start canceling games, but there should be a protocol in effect that should have come down immediately. No one in any baseball facility without a mask. At all times.
At all times. In the dugout. On the field.
Who cares?
Maybe the pitcher and the catcher can't. I don't know about the catcher.
Maybe just the pitcher. Yeah, the catcher's actually around more people. He's around the umpire and he's around the batter. So maybe, I don't know why he wouldn't wear one either.
I just worry about him being able to see.
That's true. It might affect his vision, but I don't get it. And you see a base. Some players are wearing masks while playing, and they don't seem to be hindered at all. So why wouldn't you make it mandatory?
And why can't the ump behind home plate isn't wearing one?
No, he only wears one if he's going to talk to the
right. Did you see the argument?
Yeah, they're like, hold on, let me put my mask on. Let's have this conversation.
Well, they were a little closer than 6 feet.
Yeah.
So Pittsburgh's manager came out and had an argument with the umpire, and they were like, okay, hold on. Put masks on. Okay, now. You're out of here. Yeah. But they were 6 feet away.
It was entertaining to watch the umpire hold his arm out. Hold on. Let me throw this on. And now, say what you have to say so I can throw you out. I guess the Pittsburgh manager, not that we would know. I had to look it up. Derek Shelton, whoever that is, was involved in the conversation.
Yeah, he's a big toe. He's a big toe manager.
Yeah.
Grace's on Kirby has... Have you ever eaten at Grace's on Kirby?
I have not, but I saw
it's really good.
They said
I haven't had the chicken. They have their food. It's like Southern. You got to go there sometime. Grace's on Kirby is really good.
Apparently, we're hearing from Big City Wings. Now, I don't mind a wing, but I don't really want
Big City said what?
But I don't really want a wing with the waffle. I want the tender, I think. I want a
Sam says what?
I see the picture.
Oh, Sam's okay, Sam. Apparently, Dell doesn't want wings.
All I am saying is I want the ability to cut into the tender and then use some waffle and some syrup. I don't want to bite into the wing. I want it all like a sandwich, kind of. I just all on one fork.
You're going to make the waffle a bread?
I mean, I could if I wanted to, but what I want is cut off a piece of tender, stab the waffle as well, and then dip it in some syrup. That's what I'm looking for. The wings make it a little bit more difficult. That's all.
Sam said, okay, then you don't get none of this.
I see. Sam can't keep me out of Big City Wings.
Yeah, no. Sam said, okay, Dell, go ahead. Go ahead with your tenders while I serve wonderful wings with my, and they do. Look at that. That looks pretty good.
I'm just saying, if I have to use a fork to eat, I don't want to be putting the fork down, biting into a wing, grabbing the fork again. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking for the easiest route for food to enter the mouth.
You like that stuff to enter the mouth. I got it.
I said food.
You want it the easiest way to enter your mouth.
Food. You heard me. I said food.
I'm just saying. No. That's all I'm saying.
I know what you're saying, and I'm telling you, you heard me say food.
Mm-hmm. 713-780-3776-1026, ESPN 97.5. Just a couple segments left. Hurry up. Get in.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
Joe Rogan's moving here.
For tax purposes, I'm assuming.
He wants more freedom.
No, he just signed that deal with Spotify. It's for the tax purposes from California to Texas. Freedom. Whoa. You need freedom to keep more of your money?
Yeah.
More freedom.
Why aren't we not...
He ain't fooling me.
Why are we not worried? We're so worried about Verlander. Aledmys Diaz went on the injured list.
Does Aledmys Diaz determine the viability of winning a World Series?
Is Aledmys Diaz always on the injured list?
Yes.
Is he the Will Fuller?
Who's hurt more? Will Fuller, Aledmys Diaz.
Aledmys Diaz. B.
You think so?
Aledmys Diaz is always hurt. That dude is always hurt. Was he even in the game? I mean, come on. You got to be kidding me. Come on, Aledmys Diaz. Stay on the field for a week.
It's not what he does.
Put in reverse, Terry. Put in reverse,
hey, good afternoon,
Terry.
Guys.
What's up?
Good afternoon. Good morning, guys. How are y'all doing?
Good.
Good. Quick question. Let's just say if Verlander is done for the year, which more likely he is, is there any free agent pitchers out there, or the Astros are going to have to depend on Whitley and whoever else is in the minor leagues to do something. Is there any big pitchers out there?
Well,
aren't signed that would be worth anything?
Not free agents? No, I don't. Everybody that was supposed to sign, right?
Yeah, I can't think of.
I can't think of any guys out there on the market. No, and will they make a big trade? I doubt it. I don't think that's happening.
Not this year.
Not with the salary cap and no income and everything else. I don't think he's going to add.
And are you trading multiple prospects for the chance of a season not even finishing?
Yeah. I don't think so.
Besides Whitley, who else is in minor league besides Whitley?
Urquidy is coming back. So I think he's going to be a key to the season. I thought he was going to be a key to the season anyway. Most of the guys are up. I don't know that they have any huge prospects. And for whatever reason, Whitley looked really good and was throwing really nice. And then go back down, son. Don't come up here. We don't need you up here. You know what? Why not? Just throw him. Just go. Let's go.
If not this year, then when?
When?
When is this?
When would you? At what point? How long for the most storied pitcher in Astros history
to never have ever pitched?
That has never. We might as well. What the hell? And he might be good.
22 years old. Lance was talking about he doesn't like looking at 25-year-olds making their major league debuts. Whitley's not there yet, but at some point, it's about that time. In this weird year where things might not even matter, get him up. Let's see.
Let's go.
Unless he has some mental block where it's like, no, I don't want to do this, which I don't think is the case. It's about that time.
Austin Rivers is back.
Yeah, a lot of we've seen a lot of rotation players around the league make their return. Shaman is back. Zubac for the Clippers is back. Pat Bev got back, and then and we know about Lou.
Now all they got to do is a few days and get a couple of negative tests.
The NBA has different guidelines for in determining that if they had been tested every day and had been negative. And didn't do anything to expose themselves to a high-risk situation, then yeah, 4 days and they're back. We all know why Lou is taking 10. First of all, it just looks bad that he dipped out after to honor a family member who died. He wound up at a strip club. It looks bad, and the NBA is like, okay. We don't even know how many people were really in there and if you were that close to anyone, but we're going to make an example out of you because it looks bad when you're hanging out at a strip club. If those guys don't have that, then yeah, it'll probably be about 4 days locked in the room. And people are like, oh, they should have kicked them out. Maybe, but 10 days locked in your own room with nowhere to go?
Kick them out for what? Well, it didn't look good.
Set an example.
It was a bad look.
Yeah, to keep guys, make guys take it more seriously. But being in your room for 10 days without anywhere to go, we should ask Rashawn Holmes how that felt. Or Bruno, who actually played in the first preseason game for the Rockets. I'm sure 10 days in your room by yourself ain't a fresh feeling.
No.
I think it gets the point across.
I think he's going to be nuts.
Yeah. So if you want to do what Lou did and come back, be prepared for 10 days in your room by yourself.
Are you sure he's by himself? Does it include an Instagram model?
I don't know if he could sneak her in. I'm sure there's security for that.
Huh.
And we know they don't have the proportions to hide in a suitcase.
Wow. Here's something. Burger King takes its apple pie off the menu. When you were a kid, never. Didn't you love those?
I hate warm fruit.
Oh, my gosh. They were excellent.
I never had one of the fast food apple pies.
They were
my deal.
So good. So good. That's.
Well, apparently they're not selling because they're gone.
Well, I know, but because of the millennials.
What?
It's their fault.
Millennials, no. What?
Yeah.
Because you can still go to a Burger King and buy an apple pie. Why don't you do it? When's the last time you had a Burger King apple pie?
I don't remember the last time I was in Burger King.
All right, then. That's their bigger problem. People don't go to Burger King anymore.
Well, they have $1 Whoppers now, don't they?
Maybe.
$2 Whoppers, whatever.
And you're not taking advantage of it?
I know.
Yeah, because Burger King don't hit the same. That's why you know. Your taste
used to when
changed.
You were a kid, the mayonnaise on the burger.
I don't like condiments on burgers. Burger King don't hit the same for you. Your tastes have grown.
No, but a hot apple pie does.
But have you gone there to go get one?
No.
All right, then. So it don't hit the same. Now, we know.
Because I don't go to fast food restaurants like Jack when in I was a
Box
kid.
Taco Bell. I mean, Jack in a Box Taco. Jack in a Box. You still do that?
Oh, I still do
so
that.
So let's be clear.
But that's an adult food.
No, it's a taco.
Yeah, because it's spicy.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's not.
It really kind of is.
Man, you and your spice levels are trash.
You don't know nothing about
I've had it. Jack it's not that
taco.
Great.
It's the greatest taco ever.
I don't want your deep fried lettuce. I'm good.
Let's get C-Dub in here. What up, C-Dub?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, man. What's up?
While I have y'all on the subject of the Rockets, we want to see who's going to be that key guy for the Rockets. We know Eric Gordon can be pretty inconsistent in the playoffs. Do you think that key guy for the Rockets could be Austin Rivers off the bench, so the attention isn't so focused on James Harden and Russ? Who do you think can step up for the Rockets?
Well, let's face it. I think Covington's got to play a role. Everybody's got to play good. Gordon's got to shoot well as opposed to how he shoots sometimes. And P.J. Tucker's got to be unbelievable offensively and defensively. He's got to knock down that corner three. And Austin Rivers. And you know what? Daniel House is going to have to come in, be athletic, and make baskets. And I don't know if there's one key guy because the Rockets are so little, so wee. I think they've got to have a lot of guys contribute. If the Rockets are going to have any chance, they have to be hitting on cylinders. Jeff Green's going to have to make baskets.
The Rockets, and it's not saying that much to point this out, they're very top heavy. You look at the rest of their roster. I mean, outside of Eric Gordon, you have a bunch of guys who where they fit into an NBA rotation. Like if they weren't here. Like I'm not saying they're not good players, but if you start going down the rotations of the other title contenders, except for the Lakers are actually very similar in terms of the guys in their roster. But look at, let's say, good teams who aren't as top-heavy. Let's go with the Raptors. Let's say Siakam's their best player. You also have Marc Gasol. You have Kyle Lowry. You have Norman Powell. You just have OG Anunoby, who's a younger player. I don't know if the Rockets have guys who are outside of Gordon who are above maybe the sixth guy on an NBA good NBA team.
No, right.
They have a bunch of guys who some of them are on the back end of NBA rosters like McLemore and Jeff Green. Jeff Green couldn't find a place in this league. PJ Tucker has made something of himself for being an undersized player. There's not a lot of premium talent on this team outside of the top two or even borderline, I don't know, under all-star talent. I just look at where they've pulled these guys from. Even Austin Rivers couldn't make it in with his own team, with his own father. He got traded. Washington didn't want Austin Rivers. These are guys who they've cobbled together.
He has played well here, though.
I'm not knocking that. I'm just pointing out the pedigree of some of these guys. Not that it matters if they fit into a system. I don't think the Rockets have a lot of guys who are going to change the tide of anything.
Well, or can, you know, actually change a game. Like the Lakers have Kuzma, who could go for 30.
Yes.
Danny Green could get hot.
We've seen him as a playoff performer do that.
Do that. Avery Bradley can get hot.
Except he's not around.
No, he's not there. Caldwell Pope.
I don't even think Caldwell Pope is a guy, but I get your point. You have
Rajon.
A legitimate playoff performer when he's engaged.
No. But yeah, I'm saying, like, if Austin Rivers goes off, he might make a couple three baskets out of four or five possessions.
It might be a 12-point performance. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If, you know, Covington could knock down three or four threes.
Who was starting for a playoff team with the Sixers. So Gordon. And Covington are in that same mold, but the other ones are like...
Well, Gordon even more so. Gordon can go for 30 on you.
Yeah, we've seen him.
Yeah.
And this year, when James and Russ were out, I think he won a game in Utah by going for like 50, I think, was that number, at least something close to that. The Rockets have a bunch of guys who you can't depend on, I think, from game to game. It may be a spike here, and then like Austin can go for 15 in one night and be down to 4 or 5 the next. That's just how they're built. McLemore may go for 17 and then... might go 2 for 9 the next night. They're not a lot. They don't have a lot of consistent guys I can point to and go, that guy's going to give me 15 a night. I think there are other players around this league in rotations who you can point to and say, no matter what happens, I'm going to get 12 to 15 from him if he gets shots.
Yeah. Middleton's an all-star. Bledsoe.
Yeah. Even guys like Brook Lopez.
George Hill.
Yeah. You know what you're going to get from them consistently. I'm not sure I could say that about this Rockets.
No, the Rockets don't have that. They don't. They got guys that'll come up with. If Austin Rivers hits two baskets or two threes in the fourth quarter of a tight game, you're like, damn, Austin Rivers.
Yeah. And then, and then he could be a guy who you don't see anything from for two games.
But right.
That's just how they are. That's who they are as NBA players. They don't. It's Gordon. The top four, at least I think, clearly the Russ and James, and then you have Gordon and Covington, who are legitimate starters on NBA playoff teams, and we've seen that from them in the past. The other guys are okay. Hopefully you make a couple shots here.
Yeah. No, we'll be all about Robert Covington if he knocks down four threes in a game.
Yeah, and to be honest, if you're the Rockets, you might be expecting that. That might be something required.
I mean, because
he's going to get plenty of looks.
That's what we love about PJ Tucker, right?
Yeah, when they get him shots.
He's one of the best corner shooters in the league.
Yeah, and there are occasions where PJ doesn't get shots.
He'll go how many possessions in a row without even touching the ball?
The ball, yeah.
1042 ESPN, 97.5. I got to talk right now about my peeps over at McGrath Pest Control. Scott McGrath and what he does over there, awesome. You're looking for a guy who is going to come to your home. And we're going to get a home again, and one of the first guys that I'm going to call is Scott McGrath, because I loved what he did for me when we had our home. They were there. And you know, I don't know when you were a kid, I don't know if this is everywhere, but you knew when the pest control guy was there because it stunk. Well, that's not the case anymore. Or that's not the case with McGrath Pest Control anyway. I don't know about your pest control company, but they're so good, so diligent, making sure if you have any kind of listen, we had some possum issues at the house. Scott McGrath came over, caught them, and took them away, and that was easy. And if you've got any kind of wood near your house, so you've got termites, call Scott McGrath. Make sure you don't let termites take over your house, because they do. They literally take over your house. He'll kill mosquitoes. He's got the mosquito murdering system in the backyard. With all this rain, you're going to have a bunch of mosquitoes. You need that. Ants, roaches, fleas, spiders, bed bugs, everything. They're great. I love working with Scott McGrath and McGrath Pest Control. You will too. 281-469-8240. 281-469-8240 or McGrathPestControl.com.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting InnovationMap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. Listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
Oh, my God. The apocalypse is here, Del. Baboons at a UK safari park. Guess what they did? They armed themselves with knives and chainsaws. Yeah.
Who is teaching them how to use knives and chainsaws? Why is there a chainsaw around for them to use?
I don't know. But
is it
you know what I
up?
Don't need? Baboons with knives and chainsaws. As if they're not scary enough.
A baboon could rip you apart with its hands. And you're giving it weapons? No, I'm good.
Apparently, visitors are arming them.
To do what? Just to see what they can do with them?
apparently, the reports... Well, no, because they feel like they're caged and they shouldn't be there.
Okay, animal activists are giving them chainsaws. Yeah. Why don't you just open the cages? Why do you have to give them weapons to defend themselves, I guess?
Armed with knives, screwdrivers, and even a chainsaw.
You gotta be really... looking for something. You got to be out there to hand a chainsaw to a baboon.
Wow.
I assume it was gassed up. All the gasoline And was it on and you gave it to him, or did the baboon figure out a way to turn on the chainsaw?
I don't know, but I don't. You know what I don't want? A movie about a baboon with a chainsaw.
Look, we've already
because it's too scary.
We've already seen that movie, except instead of chainsaws, they had assault rifles. We've seen the movie.
Yeah.
And it didn't go well for the humans.
Yeah.
And they don't. They probably don't have a leader like Caesar who will try to calm them down on occasion. I'm sure there's a guy who's all about war, leading the baboons.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, the county the clerk of courts, Brenda Foreman, she had to apologize to people. So, she quoted Hitler on her Facebook page. Is this what Hitler's making a comeback? Apparently, only it's never a good one.
People, no, it's not a long lasting comeback, because every time anyone quotes him or fake quotes him in Deshaun Jackson's case, you're on the road to getting canceled.
Mm-hmm. In retrospect, there were better ways I could have expressed my thoughts on how important it is for our society to work together to ensure that no one is deprived of their rights.
And you use Hitler as an example?
You think?
Look, I don't know who this woman is or what her education level is, but it's not like this isn't happening at the highest forms of government. Did you see? Would you see the good Senator Tom Cotton, what he did?
Yeah, what did he say?
He said, just like he attributed slavery being a necessary evil to the founding fathers saying it. Now, I know some of the founding fathers had slaves, but I don't. Did he point to a specific founding father who said slavery was a necessary evil? Because he goes, well, like the founding fathers. And then he went on to say Lincoln also led to the abolishment of slavery. Whatever. It was whatever he said. But the headline grabber is, our founding father said slavery was a necessary
evil. Well, you know, usually that's all I read.
I know. I try to get, before I just started to take my shots at the senator, I wanted to go read the entire thing. And I didn't hear the tone, but it felt like he said, look, they said it was a necessary evil and they can't be wrong about it, right? Although he didn't really attribute it to a specific founding father. He just threw it out there. The founding father said it.
Hmm. What am I going to do?
Yeah.
Well, it's not. This isn't on me.
Okay. It sounds like it's on you.
Philippines President Rodrigo Duterte had to apologize. You know why?
Why?
Well, he called Pope Francis the son of a whore. I think that's...
Did he know personally the Pope's mom?
No, apparently the Pope visited Manila and created traffic jams. And Duterte was...
So his response was to call the leader Pope, of the Catholic Church, a son of a whore?
Son of a whore. Huh. That's a bit aggressive, I think, for the Pope.
He doesn't care.
There's another one.
You talk about guys.
That's a heat check.
You talk about guys who don't care about what they say.
Mm-hmm.
When you take, I don't even think the great president here would call the Pope a son of a whore.
No.
Not even.
No. That's a major heat check.
Yeah. Let's see how this flies.
Of course, in the Philippines, I don't know. What's the Catholic population? I don't know.
I'm not sure how they view.
Might be pretty good.
Well,
since
he traveled
Pope
there.
Went there.
Yeah, I'm not sure how they view Catholicism.
I don't know, but that seems aggressive, I think.
You wouldn't call the leader of the Catholic Church
the
son of the whore?
No. That's the Pope.
That's because you soft.
Yeah.
Unlike Duterte.
So apparently a woman, a Karen, was none too pleased with a man who was eating. And he was in a park. And so she pepper sprayed him because he didn't have a mask on.
Hmm.
Hmm.
He's outside.
But it was a no. It was in a restricted area, a no food policy.
So did she pepper spray him for eating or for not having a mask?
I think it might have. I don't know. Maybe he was breaking two laws at once, though.
Well, he was
not supposed to eat here, and you're supposed to wear a mask.
Well, I don't know the rule about mask on outside. But he certainly broke one rule. Maybe she doesn't like rule breakers.
Maybe. She's Maddie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lance's daughter.
Yeah, I feel like Maddie would immediately welcome the Christ loving strong man to the town and be like, look, he's got some good ideas. What's he want to do? He wants to subjugate the whole town?
Hmm.
In the name of Christ? I like that guy.
Eating chocolate weekly cuts risk of heart disease. Are you eating enough chocolate in your life?
I rarely eat chocolate. So I know, the me too. Is no.
But during Lent, I eat a lot of chocolate.
To avoid drinking?
Well, because I can, and it doesn't affect. I can't drink all day and eat chocolate. I just
you
got to
pick one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to have my limitations.
What's your favorite chocolate?
Chocolate covered almond.
I got you. I like those too.
Milk chocolate covered almonds. That's my favorite.
El Frodo says you love it there as far as the Philippines. Very much a heavy Catholic influence in the Philippines.
All right. The United States has been named the second worst wealthy nation to raise a family.
What are the reasons for that?
The U.S. clocked in abysmal 34th place just to have the last place finisher, Mexico, whose murder rate jumped to the highest in nearly 2 years. Case in point, the red, white, and blue came in dead last in terms of time, which the RAFI gauged by maternity leave, vacation days, and other factors, and cost as measured by out-of-pocket health spending, cost of living, income ratio, and more. The study noted that the U.S. is the only country that doesn't require employers to offer maternity leave. Even worse, the average household blows 32% of their income on child care compared to 4 to 10% spent by Scandinavian nations. See, you don't care about any of this.
No, because I don't have children. I think raising children anywhere is a bad idea.
Yeah.
Because that means you'd have to have children.
Right. Right, right, right. That's a bad thing.
Yeah.
So see, now this is a Polish woman told an Italian restaurant owner in Cork, which is in Ireland,
yes,
to go back to your own country. And when the Italians are starting to be discriminated against, now I got a problem.
But you said she was a Polish woman?
A Polish woman.
So,
hey, mind your own business. Go back to your country.
Yeah, what does she have to stand on as far as that's concerned?
Well, yeah. You go back to your country, Polish person.
You know, in some countries, that would be considered hate speech.
That is hate speech.
And they would.
Anytime you hate on an Italian.
Yes, I know. But like in England, if you do that, they'll arrest you.
Really?
For hate speech. Yeah, and here you can get away with it. Freedom of speech, blah, blah, blah. As long as you're not threatening to hurt someone. In England, soccer stars have been hit with racism and hate speech. And they go find the person, even if they do it on social media, and take them in.
She also punched him, apparently, in the left arm.
Well, did he deserve it?
Following this, she proceeded to kick a pane of glass in front of Rossini's restaurant, causing it to smash.
So she
was all in on this.
I don't like Italians or I don't like Rossini?
I think she doesn't like Rossini.
Yeah, that's aggressive.
Yeah. Maybe she got kicked out because she wanted Polish sausage. That's all we got is Italian sausage.
Well, then go talk to your husband about
we got Polish. Italian sausage.
Lady, go talk to your husband about Polish sausage.
Oh, see, that's how we'll finish this up. That's terrible.
I thought that's where you're
going.
How do
you know she's not married to an Italian?
Well, the only interaction she's had with the Italians that I know about is not a good one. So I hope she's
maybe that's why she doesn't like him. She doesn't like she's
had
married
a bad experience.
One. She's 10:56. We're done. The press box is next.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save